Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. And this is a really cool one. As we are recording this and the episode will go live to you, we're at year end. So like many, Dan and I started talking about the year, how great it's been that it was a year ago, Dan, that we got this podcast off the ground.
Yeah.
And man, have been building more and more downloads and listeners and shares every episode, every month as we've gone. So it's been a great year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to see, you know, sometimes we sit here and record these things and we're just kind of talking.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of direct feedback. It's a lonely business, but you know, now we've started to see some of that and you know, see those download counts go up is nice. So
that's right.
Thanks everybody for sticking with us through the year. We've got some, hopefully we keep churning out the good stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, and speaking of good stuff, as you and I were talking about this as kind of one of our year-end wrap-ups, we thought about how valuable this would be for all of you as our listeners to kind of give you our high points, our big gold nuggets, right? Kind of some of the most valuable takeaways from all of our guests over the course of the year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've learned lots of stuff through this process. So, you know, it's just great to kind of rehash these things and keep them top of mind. It's so easy. Whether you're listening to podcasts on your commute or like me, I listen to podcasts like walking the dogs. You go to conventions or conferences and, you know, you get energized listening to stuff and then it's always so hard to carry that over into, you know, into day-to-day work. So we wanted to kind of do this to go back through and think through all the good stuff that came out and hopefully re-energize everybody to remember this stuff and keep it woven into what you do every day.
Well, Dan, as we were talking before the show and as we were preparing for this episode, it was really cool how it just kind of organically fell together. That as we look back over our guests from the course of the year, it really kind of fell into four categories for us, you know, and as we kind of looked at hitting these high points. And so I think that's the way we've kind of lined the episode out today. And I think it's going to be really cool for our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's cool to see everything kind of fall into a master plan.
There you go.
A little bit after the fact, but you know, we've been focused this whole time on bringing content and guests out that will help all of you bank marketers out there do what you do, and you know, to see it see these themes kind of emerge. It makes a lot of sense, and hopefully, it does to all of you too. So
there you go. Well, so let's dive into kind of our category number one. We called real community engagement. And so, you know, we're the majority of our listeners representing community-based financial institutions, doing the battle day in and day out against, you know, the bigs, the nationals, the, you know, all of that. And so, Dan, it was interesting as we had a couple of guests in particular come on. We knew at surface level, we were talking about the obvious, right? So yeah. Your strength as a community bank is to be community engaged. But there were a few of our guests in particular who helped kind of take that to a whole nother level, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think it just, it reminded me too, like, it's so easy to say community bank and our strength is our community, but you say that so much, like, what does it mean? You know, it helps to go back to that and put some life behind it. And I think, you know, we talked to Shannon Aker and Emily Mays and a few of the other guests, you know, touched on these too, just on how clearly as a community bank, community is important, but it's really your ethos, right? You can't just say we're a community bank, right? I know I've said on this show multiple times, like every bank out there says we're trusted and we're local, but that has lost all meaning. And I think community bank as a term has lost meaning too, unless as a marketer, you can weave in, you know, stories and weave in your own bank's like unique knowledge of the community into it. So I know Shannon Aker did a really, really great job talking through this. And you know, his point was don't deviate from your community, right? Don't ever forget that every time you're out at an event or you're running an ad campaign or you're taking a phone call, you know, you're getting an intro, all those things, you're a member of the community. You're not a salesperson. You're a friend. You're a partner. And I know that's woven into everything that he does.
Yeah. And it was Shannon as the president of a southern mid-sized town. I think his point in saying what you were just explaining, Dan, is don't be apologetic and don't try to be something that you're not.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to act like Chase Bank if you're, you know, a community bank, right? So I like you remembering what Shannon said is don't deviate from that. Be the community, engage with the community. Don't try to be like every other bank. You know, his in particular is Bank of Brookhaven. So don't try to be like, you know, bigger or different. Be that and be it and do it really, really well. And their successes come from that. And Shannon shared specific examples of how they've grown year over year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, you're reminding me of what Emily talked about too, which plays off that, which is like, you can't, she literally said, you can't be everybody's cup of tea all the time, meaning don't be Chase, right? Be you, be authentically you. And yeah, that's going to turn some people off, but it's also going to be really, really compelling to a lot of other people, right? And you're going to do better catering really specifically to a closer group of people than trying to be everything to everyone. And that's a theme, an overarching theme that we come to for social media, for paid ads, for all this stuff. But you know, it's the same thing with the bank overall. Is, you know, be authentically you. And don't worry about, you know, the percentage of people that, I mean, you're not trying to alienate them, right? But be authentically you, and you're going to form a better community. You're going to form better relationships.
That's right. And I remember Emily kept talking about being distinctive. And mm-hmm. She even talked about their bank name, Community Spirit Bank. And she said, we're not changing that name. We're not trying to be something that we're not. But Community Spirit Bank is, and she talked about being relevant within that distinctiveness. And so, yeah, it's that's kind of refreshing, Dan.
Yeah.
Because as a human being, we probably know we shouldn't be doing it. So as a business and as a bank, right, not trying to be all things to all people. Maybe that's another way of saying what Emily shared with us about not being everybody's cup of tea all the time, is be distinctive and be really good at it.
Yeah. If you try to be everything to everyone, you end up feeling generic to most people. Mm. And, you know, it's, I use this quote a lot, and I think it's probably run it's super dated now, but and nobody probably remembers this show, but there's this old show called Third Rock from the Sun with John Lithgow. And I watched that show. I don't remember much about the show at all, but there's one quote from that show where, you know, John Lithgow's like a teacher at a school, and he calls his school the Harvard of mediocrity. And I use that a lot because it's the same. Like a lot of banks, and not just banks, a lot of businesses to try to appeal to everybody. And in doing that, you get really good at appealing to everybody. But it just, you know, a lot of your marketing, a lot of your outreach falls short. And so I think of it as like that Harvard of mediocrity. Like you're really good at what you're doing. But if you focused it in different ways, you know, then you'd have a much different effect.
There you go. That's right.
I don't know why that just came
up. It all fits together. And I hope those are some valuable takeaways around being a community financial institution for our listeners. So yeah. Great.
What's the next category?
Dan, as you and I way back were designing what this show was going to be and what the podcast was going to be, parts of the discussion that kept coming up is while, yes, we're talking about digital ads and social placement and strategy and content and all of these marketing things, was also the realization and acknowledging that behind every marketer is a human being.
Yeah.
Walking, talking, feeling, fearful, joyful, whatever. You know, so what we didn't want to do in this podcast was to ignore both the personal development and along with that, the professional development of each of us people, you know, as individuals and the value of that. So as we're trying to get our companies to grow and get better at what we do, a lot of the core of that is that development. So we had some really cool, amazing guests on this year, Dan, that had some very valuable stuff for all of us around.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, if you're working on yourself, if you're, you know, to your point, if you're focusing on your own professional development, your marketing is going to be better, your relationships are going to be better, and so it's super important. So I know we've had some guests on that aren't bank marketers, aren't in the industry, but getting that outside perspective is super important. And just thinking about what it means to be successful, what it means to work as a community institution. Chris Kellum, one of our first guests, talked a lot about values and how to weave your values and your life's purpose into the work that you do. And, you know, and as a community bank, you're value driven, right? Your institution is hopefully very value and purpose driven. So it may sound on the surface a little strange to say, well, what's the value of, you know, bank marketing, but you know, there's a lot, like providing services to people in a, you know, way that the big institutions can't, that, you know, taking deposits and reinvesting in the community in a way that nobody else does is everybody, you know, most of our listeners impacts. And so using that as a kind of a way to drive your passion forward.
And part of that Chris Cullen was also talking about was about being impactful in the work that you do.
Yeah.
And that was around both internally and externally. So you just mentioned an external, you know, customer impact example, but it's also what we do day to day in the teams that we work with. And, you know, the people that we engage with, and where is it written that bankers and people that work for financial institutions aren't supposed to be personally impactful to those around them?
Right,
they actually are, and they're huge opportunities. So it was a great reminder from Chris, you know, around that.
Well, and Dave Jaslowski talked a lot about, you know, just that being a good teammate, right, and being, you know. Yes, as working in a bank and you're working with the public, it's important to have impacts on the public. But even just smiling in the hallways, you can make somebody else's day, make the rest of the organization that much more productive. Choose to forgive when somebody, you know, Dave's example is a lot more sort of violent than probably what happens in most banks, of, you know, being injured and needing to sort of decide on, you know, big career choices. But he made a choice to kind of forgive and move on, and that's a great reminder for all of us to, you know, when you're up against, you know, something that's frustrating in your organization, to you have a choice to choose to have a good day, to choose to move on and not let it, you know, or process it but not let it sort of linger and impact you over time.
Oh yeah, and it was helpful for me to watch how Dave actually even simplifies that down to one decision at a time.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, you said choose and decide and all those kind of things. And I don't know, honestly, Dan, that I've really spent time thinking about the value of each, you know, specific decision. And Dave even said, yeah, the big career choice decision, those are obvious. You got to really wrap around and spend time around those. But how one good decision can cause a good day.
Yeah.
And then you stack those together, and it becomes, you know, a good day, a successful career, and all those, and it comes with each of those choices.
Yeah. And I took away from that too, just not dwelling on stuff that may not have gone the way you wanted, right? He didn't say that specifically, but you know, I do that personally, of something doesn't quite go what I want, or don't get a response that I want, and I'll kind of dwell on it, and then, you know, realize that that impacts stuff I do later, right? But if you sort of say, hey, this happened, what's the next positive thing we can do to move on from it and have, you know, have the good day, and then not have my downstream decisions impacted.
There you go. Well, and then I loved later this year how we had Eric Cook on, and kind of under this development topic still, how his big thing was about community, that marketers being part of a community is crucial. And nobody sitting at their desk feeling utterly alone. Maybe the rise in Zoom and you know, communications and everything else during the pandemic, you know, kind of made some of that communication even more possible. But he was talking about being intentional, engaging in your industry and being in community with other marketers.
Right.
And also in finding those that do things well and being in community with those individuals. Really.
Yeah. Learning from others and realizing, like, you know, you might work at a one branch bank with 15 or 20 employees, you know, that's a community, but there's also these other communities of bank marketers across the country that you can learn from. And I, you know, we both go to conferences a lot. I went to the ABA Bank Marketing Conference this year, and it was, you know, community of people. Like, here's bankers from California and bankers from New York that know each other and, you know, get to see each other at these events. It's a bigger community. And if you partake in that, you know, there's a lot that you can learn from. There could be career opportunities there as well. There could be lots of other opportunities just going outside of what you're doing. You can learn, you know, even though community banks are, you know, competitive geographically, you know, if you're close enough geographically to another bank, like, you're not competitive with another small bank, you know, a state away or two states away. And you can, you can learn from them and learn what works for them. And by learning what works for them and applying it to your own situation, you're helping the whole industry thrive.
And Dan, I don't know if you realized it, but you literally just told our story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to remind our listeners, so Dan and I met at a marketing agency leadership conference back in 2019 in Denver. And I remember the guy that leads that organization. I was sitting there, I think I was having breakfast with him or something like that. And he goes, you know, there's another bank marketing agency owner that's here.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the instant, like, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I'm like, what? You mean there's a direct competitor of mine here? You got to be kidding me.
No one
anyway,
else
but like he was like, oh, man, I got to introduce you to Dan. And so he did. And you and I gazed, and first of all, you know, you and I instantly had the smarts and wherewithal to know there's plenty of business out there for everybody.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you and I don't have overlapping geographic areas, and we don't do exactly the same thing with our agencies. And I think the takeaway, and then we started talking and sharing ideas, and we still do that. We've shared clients and work together, and then this podcast thing was born out of it. So I think back to Eric's point that you were making, Dan, is that so applicable? And if bank marketers and bankers see being in community with others as threatening, I'm going to recommend right now you shift that thinking.
Yeah.
And it's way off, right?
You're not going to share your trade secrets with, like, the bank right across the street, you know, but there's probably only a small handful of banks that you're directly competitive with like that. And sharing this knowledge, you know, across states. I know, you know, we do a lot of work in Illinois, and one of the associations there, they get, you know, non-competitive CEOs at luncheons every quarter, right, to share things. But a bank, you know, 400 miles, two banks 400 miles apart on the north and south sides of Illinois, like, aren't really competitive.
Yeah.
So share that information, build the community. And what I was also trying to do, Chris, I don't know if you caught on this, was build the segue to the next story.
You and I were thinking the same thing.
Yeah, which is industry leadership, because Gordon Fellows, who runs a Mississippi Bankers Association, talked a lot about everybody, you know, working together for the betterment of the industry, right? You know, the more banks can come together and share what works, banks can come together and do advocacy, better the industry is overall, and that's better for the banks. You create a better environment where community banks can thrive, and you know, the top 6-7 biggest banks aren't winning 3/4 of the customers like they are today. Everybody's going to be better off.
Yeah, Gordon's was very much that rising tide mentality.
Yeah,
you know, of the overall betterment of the industry, and I think that is an incredibly valuable message for our listeners. And so that was Gordon's message. And then when we had John McNair on, that leads Community Bankers Association of Georgia, you know, a lot of John's focus was, hey, as banks, as community banks, we really are small businesses. And we're not selling tires and bread, we're selling money. And we're all, you know, doing that. And the focus around how we can all do that, all do it well, having that rising tide mentality that Gordon was talking about as well, but being very intentional and focused about how you market, you know, those products. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what did you say this? What did he say? The small business, banks are small businesses whose product is money. You're selling money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't think enough banks talk enough about that story of deposit money here and we loan it out to help the community. But the top 6 banks don't, right? Or they maybe they loan it out too, but they're loaning it out to $1 billion developments in New York City, you know, and not to the smaller communities.
Yeah, it's not that community reinvestment. That's right.
Right. So, you know, John was talking too a lot about like don't be quiet. A lot of community banks tend to be humble, right? And there's a big difference between staying humble and being like a braggart, right? Like there's a bunch of gray area in between, right? And I think it's not to you know, be super arrogant and talk about the good you do in an arrogant way, but if you can talk about it, you can tell your story and share what a community bank means, you know, and elevate yourself without you're far away from making people feel like you're going too far. So like it, staying quiet and being humble just isn't working anymore because everybody's blasted with all kinds of advertising messages from other banks. But the, you know, another overarching theme of the show too is, you know, as a even a large community bank, you're still, you know, many, many, many times smaller than the biggest banks, right? So you can't out-advertise them. You can't out-compete with them, but you can, you know, you can tell your story. And those biggest banks can't tell a community story the way that you can.
So, and Dan, I don't know if you did it on purpose, but you just segued us into our fourth of the four categories perfectly well. Look how you did that.
Guilty.
Absolutely genius. So, well, as you and I were trying to frame this up, we were trying to think of kind of what to call this category. And it's, we called it marketing partners, because as we all in this industry do this marketing thing, we can't do all things. So partnering, outsourcing, you know, insourcing, all these kinds of things are essential and crucial. And especially as a small bank, you're not going to have a massive marketing department of content writers and message, you know, folks and social media and all those things. So you've got to find partners.
Yeah, as a we don't do a lot of selling on this show and we don't want to, but just as a, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, hiring experts in each area. Right. And as a community bank, you know, especially if you're in rural areas, it's really hard to find like a Google Ads expert and a copywriting, you know, a copywriting expert and all the experts you need. And it's, and on the flip side, you may have a really good, you may be a really good marketing lead, but you can't do everything.
Right.
You know, a lot of our listeners are probably, you know, marketing/compliance or marketing/lending, something else.
Yeah.
You just, you know, you can't, it's so hard to go from, nobody exists that would be good at like logging into the Google Ads interface and optimizing your keyword bidding strategy and then logging out and going and updating website copy and then going and, you know, working on a, you know, regulatory audit. You can't, you know, those are fully different skill sets. And whether you hire a freelancer, whether you hire an agency or whether you hire, you know, you find software to fill the gap, like I think, you know, you as a marketer, you've got to look at yourself and your team and the resources and time that you have and figure out where your strengths are and where you should, you know, fill it in. And I know like both of our agencies, we fill that role of like, you know, we can fill in where you don't have time and we can fill in where, you know, where you need that industry perspective.
Yep.
And a lot of our guests, you know, exist because they're in that same business. Like Shondell, who focused just on copywriting and content marketing for mm-hmm. financial institutions. So all she does is write, you know, bank websites and blogs and advertising content. So she's pretty good at it.
That's right.
I would not, you know, none of us would be all that good at it because we do a million other things.
And yeah, I love what she talked most about was connecting.
Yeah.
And how content is about connecting with your target audience. So it's not, you know, the brochure spiel of, hey, our checking account does this and you can get, you know, whatever, free checks with it and you can, okay, well, whatever. But what about developing content around those products, services and loans and deposit accounts, et cetera, that really connect with your audience that actually can make them passionate about and desiring to do business with you because the messaging that they're hearing from you via that content connected with them.
Yeah, I was just on a call today with a client that's redoing their website. We're not doing it for them, but they were asking us for some advice. And you know, they had a category, like a menu category that said like, you know, treasury services. I'm like, nobody knows what that is. Like that's, you know, but if you say, you know, other ways we can help, you know, then it starts forming that connection. And that's, you know, Shondell talked a lot about that. And I've seen that in the stuff that she does of like, it's super simple. We're talking changing around three or four words, but you can make that connection. It's those little things that when you're running around and doing 100 different things and copywriting is not what you've been trained in, you're going to kind of miss those opportunities to make connections.
Yeah. Well, and when we had Jim Perry on, Dan, Jim, through his consultative approach, was really helpful at the related point about making banking more human.
Yeah.
And that it's not just about products, services, customers, you know, the dry descriptions that we have to always use as we're talking about elements of the industry, but the humanness, you know, of what banking really is about and being, I think, transparent all the way from the boardroom to the consumer and the impact that has for whatever high school kid having their first, you know, student checking account, you know, all the way through to, you know, whatever, a town building a new hotel and everything in between.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and playing off those moments and right, remembering you're helping a human. I'm going down through memory lane on this episode, but I, you know, remembering when you're talking about that of like, I remember when my parents to get my first checking account, remember where it was and what the, you know, the bank was like. And I think in banking you kind of forget. You're creating, you know, the kids you're opening accounts for, remember that. Buy your first home, you remember the process, and you know, you're creating relationships around big, important moments in people's lives. So, you know, be human about it. Clearly the bank needs to make money and, you know, you need to have collateral and you need to like meet your risk assessments and the regulatory requirements. But like, you know, you can be human around it. People don't want to, and I'm going to play into something that Ben Pankonen said around storytelling is, you know, people don't want to hear about your products, right? They know they know you that you have checking accounts. They know you offer loans, right? They know what a bank is, but they want to hear how you can help them. And it is through a loan or through a checking account. But if you can tell a story around that, I'd much rather listen to a story about how the bank went, a bank went over, you know, above and beyond to get somebody into their first home in a tough, you know, rising rate environment, than to just hear about the rate or to hear about, you know, flexible terms. Like, I'm not thinking about terms. I'm thinking, I want this house, but can I afford the payments?
Well, and Ben was coming at it from a social media perspective, and so, you know, yeah, as founder of Social Assurance. But I loved what he was talking about with the power of marketing and the power of storytelling. And the example that you just gave is a great one, you know, or, and the one before that, you know, from a student checking account to a first home to, you know, helping a business become successful and get where they're trying to go because of a you know, a commercial relationship, whatever that may be. But the power of that storytelling marched out through consistent messaging, whether it's your social platforms, your web, your, you know, all the way through top to bottom on your marketing.
Yeah.
And man, that could have been one of the more valuable takeaways and gold nuggets we had from the whole year, is really realizing the power of your marketing.
Yeah. No, man, I think that, and that's, you know, we're kind of right towards the end of our four categories here too. I think that's a great way to, you know, wrap it all up into a ball, combine all those four categories, is realize the power of your marketing, right? And if you as a marketer, you know, you're working on your professional developments, you're always learning, you know, you're always growing, you're working on, you know, you're connected to the industry, you're connected to community, you're learning from others, and you're, you know, expanding your reach and your influence, like, you're going to become better at that messaging. You're going to be more human if you connect with other humans and you, you know, get to know customers in the way that you're helping.
Yeah.
So I think if there's one thing to keep in mind, it's that, you know, be more human, be a storyteller, not a, you know, product pusher.
There you go. There you go. Well, Dan, this has been a lot of fun to review our year, I think through the eyes and messages of our guests.
Yeah.
And these valuable takeaways that they've given us. And we want to remind our listeners that we'll put all of this in our show notes and include links through to each of these episodes and the guests and, you know, all of that. And some of them are authors, and we'll include, you know, their books and their own websites and all of that kind of stuff, so that you can further explore that. Because for you folks, as our listeners, that's the value that we want to deliver to you through this capsule, through this podcast. You know, so whether you're watching us on YouTube or listening to it as you're riding down the road or whatever the case may be, this is that power, Dan, that you're talking about, that power of marketing encapsulated for you as our listeners. And then I know going forward, the next one, we've got some juicy stuff for next year, Dan, that in our next episode, we're going to talk about and looking forward and where we're going. And again, I think that's going to be another opportunity to kind of encapsulate things for our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for some of the upcoming episodes we've got and getting to 2023. I think this is our last episode for 2022, and it's been a great, you know, journey so far. I'm excited for more and starting the next year off with a bang.
There you go. Dan, I got to say, man, I don't want to go without saying how fun, educational, just great in so many ways it has been to do this with you this year. We embarked on this new podcast show adventure together, having being like-minded and having some of the same goal sets in mind for our agencies, but also in engaging with the larger community, you know, that's out there, that in the industry that we work in. So, brother, it's been a great year, and I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful for your partnership, and you know, we have learned so much from each other, gotten each other connected to so many great people, and looking forward to more of that.
Awesome. Well, thanks to all of our listeners Hope this has been really valuable to you. Go to bankmarketingshow.com, and that's where you can get the details and the links and the show notes from this episode today, and all these valuable gold nuggets and takeaways. And we appreciate you very much for the year that you've given us as listeners. And we couldn't do it without you, needless to say. And we appreciate you very much. Look forward to the episodes ahead.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.